Hey, colleagues, welcome back to the office. It's Steve. Welcome to our podcast for today. This is the best password management tools and why you should use them, part two. We're actually off today. This is a recording from a recent State Society conference, so please enjoy. In this series, we're looking at different methods and techniques for password management. Password management is this idea that we can apply principles and policy and procedures around how we utilize passwords inside of our systems and our organizations. Passwords are often our first and maybe even our only line of defense against malicious actors gaining access to our accounts. They could be on servers, they could be on websites, they could be on systems, they could be just about anywhere. But we need to take it seriously, because if we don't take it seriously, we're seriously opening ourselves up to risk and exposure and potentially even a data breach. In the first episode of this podcast series, we looked at some different methods that passwords can be compromised, whether it be from guessing or, you know, for example, from manipulation of the user through social engineering and more. And frankly, most humans and most people are susceptible to these types of attacks. You know, it's pretty easy to guess somebody's password if it's based around things you know about them. And if that user was, for example, utilizing a password based off of what high school they went to or their kids' sports team or their favorite car or something else like that. Frankly, we have to take it another step up. We have to utilize stronger techniques and procedures in order to be able to protect ourselves. We then talked a little bit about policies and procedures and recommendations for what actually a strong password is. It's got to be random. It's got to be long and strong. We've got this whole idea that a password needs to have a certain characteristics of length and complexity in order to be a certain desirable strength in it. Well, in the second half, what we're going to talk about is how we can actually easily implement these policies utilizing password management tools. We're going to be looking at specifically some of the features and functions of some of the leading tools that are out there on the market today. We'll first talk about, for example, some features and functions you might want to consider when choosing a password management tool. There's a lot, you know. Are you looking for yourself? Are you looking for your company? Are you looking for mobile? Are you looking for desktop? Are you looking for whatever? There's a lot of individual features and functions that are out there with these different tools that you should at least know about and consider in your thought process when choosing a tool. And then we'll go ahead and take a look at a bunch of the leading tools in the market today. We'll also discuss some alternatives to passwords, including multi-factor authentication. And towards the end, we'll even discuss maybe getting beyond passwords with passwordless authentication, which might be a technique and procedure for you in the future. But we've got to live in the world that we live in today, and in today's environment, we have to live with passwords. So how can we get the best effort out? Well, the answer again is going to be utilizing a password management tool like LastPass, Dashlane, KeePass, Zoho Vault, or others. Now, before we dive into the material, I do want to remind you, if you're a financial professional, you can earn credit for today's class. It's super simple. After listening to today's podcast, whether you're listening live on Facebook and YouTube, or you happen to be listening after the fact on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or others, you can earn CPE credit for listening or watching. After, head on over to cpetoday.com, use course code PMT2. You'll have to take a short five-question quiz, but you will earn a credit for today's class. It's super simple. It'll take you just a couple of minutes, and you'll be one credit closer to maintaining your license. Again, check out cpetoday.com, course code PMT2 for today's class, and you can earn a credit. While you're there, check out some of our other courses and content. We've got a lot of great stuff in there for any continuing education you might need. Okay, we're going to go ahead and switch over to our presentation for today, but I'll join you at the end and we'll go ahead and go through our review questions and wrap up for the day. Hope you enjoyed today's podcast.
Alternatives to passwords as authentication controls. Okay, so if I can't use a password, don't want to use a password, you know, what other options do we have available to us? And even with password management tools, passwords are still a pain to create, manage, and update. And furthermore, you know, as computers become more powerful, longer and stronger, yeah, who knows what's going to happen? As I mentioned with respect to, quantum computing, who the heck knows where it's going to go? Okay. However, there's a lot of options now. Facial recognition, retina scans, fingerprints. Sounds like something out of straight up Mission Impossible that we can use essentially to authenticate. And multi-factor authentication is fabulous. And it's something that we should ultimately use in conjunction with a normal password. So I think this is going to continue to evolve, continue to change. But let's take a look at a couple of alternatives to straight up memorization of passwords. Well, the first one is going to be Windows Hello. Windows Hello is a service built right into your Microsoft Windows interface. And using this, you can set up alternative options with respect to how to configure authentication for your device. And you can use a couple of different techniques. If you have a modern computer, as an example here, you can set this up so that it can use facial recognition, or you could set it up, for example, to use fingerprint authentication. My Lenovo ThinkPad right here has both a camera that can do 3D scanning of faces, and then it's also got a little thing right here where I can stick my finger on and it'll read my fingerprint, you know? And the Windows Hello is really, really effective. It's really secure as well. And it's nice because you don't have to put a password in. I love the fact that I can just look at my computer and it unlocks and just lets me in straight away. And there's lots of different options for this. There's the fingerprint method, the facial method. You can draw a pattern as well as put in a PIN code. Now, if you've never set up Windows Hello before, it's pretty simple. First and foremost, your machine has to support this. So, you know, certain computers that are older might not, for example, have access to this. But as long as your computer physically has the hardware to support it, you can use this as well. And I'm going to show you a little bit about Windows Hello here in a moment. Okay, we also have fingerprint recognition, increasingly popular on mobile devices. Apple's Touch ID as well as their Face ID is fantastic. Just use your fingerprint and get right in. And we also now have two-factor authentication. We'll talk about that here in a minute. And there's a number of different services that support this. You know, whether you choose to, for example, to use the Google Authenticator, the Microsoft Authenticator, the LastPass Authenticator, they all work roughly the same. Let's talk a little bit about the Windows Hello service. This was introduced into Windows 10, and it brought in the ability to use passwordless login using techniques such as facial recognition, as well as PIN codes, and as well as fingerprints as well. Now, all you have to do when you're in here is just basically enable this particular service. Let's go ahead and take a look at this. Oops, wrong one. There we go. Okay, so from your Windows desktop, if you just go ahead and you search for Hello, a great Adele song also, okay, this will bring into your sign-in options, okay? And depending on the nature of the computer that you're using, some or all of these may or may not be available. At the moment, I'm on a virtual machine here, so I'm not using my normal desktop where I do have all of these options. But on your relatively modern machine, you should have access to all of these. And this is where you can enable, for example, facial recognition. Okay. And as long as you've got a Windows compatible webcam, it's not a normal webcam. It has to be a special webcam, but most modern devices support this. You can use it. Likewise, you could use a fingerprint or you could use a PIN code if you wanted to as well. There's other methods where you could even use a picture or a security key, like a physical USB device that you could plug in. But any of these methods will work, and they're just as secure as those passwords that you would normally use. Now, other methods are, for example, that fingerprint recognition. Okay, also embedded into Windows 10. It's also in a lot of other devices as well. You can just use it, use your finger. You can use it in conjunction with other tools as well, where you can use fingerprint authentication to be able to access and authenticate to a variety of different devices that are out there. Okay. And you can actually add this on too, which is kind of cool. There are a variety of companies that sell these third-party fingerprint readers that you can just put onto your computer. So if your computer doesn't normally support that, it can, you know. So if you got an older machine, doesn't have a fingerprint reader, you can buy a USB one that'll work just fine. We have multi-factor authentication. Multi-factor authentication is required in 2021, frankly. I can tell you, for any account that matters, you need multi-factor authentication with it. And multi-factor authentication doesn't mean removing of passwords. What it means is we use multiple factors to prove who we are. Computers don't know you from anybody else. The way a password works is through comparison. Okay, it compares the password provided at login with the password provided at signup. And as long as they're the same thing that's currently in the database, it lets you in. Okay, well, what happens if you have a data breach and somebody steals your password? The answer is they get into your account, unless you have multi-factor authentication. MFA requires the user to provide a secondary method of authentication in addition to the password provided. And this helps reduce our risk in the event that that password is stolen, that somebody is able to log in and be able to get it. Now, where this most often is used is by either a text message of a code or a authentication app inside of the phone itself, where the user can essentially generate a code and that those codes will be used one time. Now, I personally use LastPass for all of mine, and these are codes, for example, that would get generated on here that I could then use to log into those services. So this code right here, let's just say it's 678442, okay, will last for 30 seconds, okay? And then it gets replaced and another code gets generated. The host service, the QuickBooks, the bank, the whatever, they also have a copy of this, but that, and they can compare it using decryption methods. But to be clear, those codes are generated on this device and this device only. And that's why it's secure, because it's not generated anywhere else. It's not possible to be generated anywhere else. I can essentially just do it on my own. Okay, so I think this is a really absolutely essential way, and almost all major devices now, Google Workspace, QuickBooks, others like this are supporting multi-factor authentication. And I will tell you, when given the choice, do it. Do it, do it, do it. It'll make all the difference in the world with respect to whether or not you have a data breach. Okay, so in this next section, let's talk about the fact that if we still have to use passwords, what the heck is password management? And I have danced around this a bunch, but let's get into this concept of password management and what these tools are, okay? And there's been a couple of questions that popped in here, and I'm going to go ahead and answer those here as once we kind of get through our initial setup of what password management is. If anybody has any other questions, jump on in, let me know what you're thinking, and I'd be more than happy to address them. So, can we actually generate good passwords on our own? The answer is no. No, we can't. Okay. It's not realistic to expect that all team members can comply and with the guidelines that we've previously talked about. There's going to be somebody in your company. Everybody close their eyes. We all can picture who that person is that's not going to follow this. And unfortunately, that person could be the reason why your organization has some sort of data breach. And that can be really, really, really dangerous, you know, for the organization overall. Humans are not good at pattern recognition. We're not good at randomness. We are the weakest link in the security chain. If we look at almost every large-scale data breach, almost exclusively, humans are the ones who cause that particular risk to occur. Acknowledging this, understanding this, complying with this, is likely a recipe for understanding and acknowledging the risk for what it is and then planning around it. Well, you know what? We can resolve this issue. If we acknowledge it head on and we find other ways to deal with it, you know what? We can at least deal with it and we can find other ways to manage that risk. Not dealing with it, well, in my opinion, that's a recipe for a data breach. You know, just basically saying, you know what? People do what they're going to want and we can't manage that effectively. Well, you know what? Ultimately, you're putting yourself in a really precarious situation. So, what do password management tools do? Let me go ahead and just summarize this in a nutshell. Password management tools do a couple of things. First and foremost, they are a methodology for generating, crafting, and using your ever-growing list of passwords. So tools like LastPass, RoboForm, KeePass, Dashlane, Zoho Vault, and others, at the end of the day, they're a database. Okay. They have some processes inside of them that automate creating, storing, using, and managing my list of passwords with other services. I don't have to remember my password for Delta, United Airlines, American Airlines, or anything else. Essentially, LastPass or Dashlane or whatever service I choose to use, it knows the password and it can get me in there. It generated the password, it stored the password in an encrypted database and recalls that password so that when I want to use it, it's available to me. I don't need to know the password. All I need to know is the password to get into LastPass or KeePass or whatever I'm using, and it will log in for me. So it takes all of the headache, the thought process, the effort of planning this, and it pushes it to the service provider. And the service provider, in this case, whatever service we happen to be using, KeePass, RoboForm, LastPass, they will remember it for us. I just need to know Delta, United, and I can look that up. The way I get in to the different websites and services that I use, I go to the password management tool, I search Delta Airlines, and I copy and paste the username and the password from that service into whatever website I'm choosing to go to. So in general, if you can remember the password you use to access the password management tool, it's going to have everything else that you need to use. So the only passwords that I know, just to repeat myself here, is the password to my devices, the password into my email, and the password into LastPass. Taylor asked earlier, why not just let the password management tool choose the password for you? I do not want the password management tool to choose my password, mostly just because it's not going to be memorable. Ultimately, at the end of the day, I need to be able to log into the LastPass password management system or Dashlane. You know, to put it into perspective, Taylor, I have probably somewhere around 1,500 passwords in my LastPass for all the different client engagements and products and services. I mean, if you think about it, you buy anything from anywhere online, they make you make an account. Well, I can't remember all of them, you know, and I've got several accounts for some of these services. Like a company like Amazon Web Services, I think I've got like 10 accounts or 15 accounts for my different clients. So I let LastPass remember all of those. I just remember how to get into LastPass. And so that's essentially how I manage that. And if it generated the password for me, it would be so long and complex, I wouldn't remember it at the end of the day. Now, these different tools, the great thing about being in 2020, they're all great. I mean, there's really not a bad password anywhere that I'm aware of, you know, as long as it's a reasonably reputable company and a widely used tool, it is going to work effectively for you. Now, it's about choosing the right tool for what you want. A lot of these tools, for example, will have specific features and specific functions that might be of benefit. You know, for example, like synchronization across devices, secured sharing, breach notifications, auditing, password policy, and more. These are tools that may or may not be present in the specific tool that you have, but they're present in the market for the different products that are out there. So some additional desirable details for this. It should be able to create a wide variety of passwords at any length and complexity required. Okay. The good password tools, for example, are going to force you to use services like multi-factor authentication or use some sort of hardware authentication device like a YubiKey. They're also going to notify you when you're doing something you shouldn't be doing, like using a low quality or have a duplicate password in the system itself. It puts all of your data into a single repository, and then it can be used for anything, websites, applications, infrastructure, and more. So in our next section, we're going to go ahead and take a look at some of the leading password tools that are out there, and I'll talk about some of the things I like about it. And if we have enough time, I'll give you a demonstration of some of these different tools. Let me go ahead and read through some of the questions that have popped up here. All right, David writes in, password manager store passwords and other information in the cloud. In reality, how secure is that storage? Great question, David. Okay. And it's a question that often gets asked. It's saying, you know, hey, if I'm putting all my passwords in this service, should I trust this service? Okay. The password tools we're going to talk about here, I have no qualifications in recommending, you know, so I've gone ahead and I've vetted as well as the other K2 instructors with respect to these tools themselves. And as long as you pick something reputable with a good following, you should be okay. And with respect to security for these, often these tools are going to have a variety of different security mechanisms, including, for example, minimum lengths of password for the actual tool itself, multi-factor authentication so that, you know, if your password's stolen, somebody can't get into it unless they also had your phone, as well as other more specific things like, for example, being able to lock the access down to specific countries or specific devices even. But there's one characteristic with all of these that makes the big difference in terms of security, and it's the fact that LastPass does not store the private key for the actual data itself. So the best security is the security that you don't have to think about or manage. And what I mean by that is LastPass or Dashlane or KeePass or Zoho Vault, they do not store the private key, meaning they do not store your actual password. What they store is a token, a representation of what that password is, but in no way, shape, or form is it decrypted for anybody else to be able to see or utilize. So there's nowhere in their system where your data is stored in a way that it can be exposed. You pick the password and then they have no recollection of it. It can be reset. There's other mechanisms that you can put in place that if it is lost, but they do not actually store the password themselves, nor does their team have the ability to be able to reset a password that is compromised either or stolen. You know, so it's the security is really kind of up to you. The other thing about that is you also can control the encryption. You know, you can, for example, encrypt this as many times as you'd like. My LastPass directory, every single time the data is transmitted, it's encrypted and decrypted several thousand times while it is in or when it's actually put up into the cloud. So I can control that, which gives another layer of vulnerability. The other thing I would mention with a lot of these services as well is that they have a number of security protocols in place to identify when you're making a bad practice and allow you to change and be able to update and modify and set your own security permissions. And they're going to notify you when you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing. Overall, these services, yes, you're ultimately trusting somebody, but you got to trust somebody these days. And if you want to run the entire thing offline, you certainly can. There are a variety of open source technologies, such as KeePass, for example, which is 100% offline. You can run the entire thing on your local computer with no data going to and from the cloud. Now, unfortunately, you're going to lose out, for example, for services such as syncing and sharing. You know, it's going to, for example, cause other issues for collaboration. You know, if you wanted to share passwords securely with other people, or you wanted to be able to get them on your, if you wanted, for example, to be able to get them on your mobile phone. But if that is of importance to you, you can do it. So KeePass is this example right here. This is open source. What this means is that the code that you can use to build this application is publicly accessible and it's open for scrutiny. So I can, for example, download this tool, install it, and use it. But what I can also do with this is that I can look at the source code, the actual underlying code that makes this possible, and examine it for my own purposes. So if you're a software developer and you could read and understand what this is, you can, you know, the sky's the limit with respect to understanding how this comes together. And you can have 100% control over how this tool uses, and you can modify it for whatever purposes that you would like. And it runs 100% offline if you'd like as well. So you get a lot of options with respect to where and how this technology is being deployed and used. Okay, let's go ahead and take a look at a couple more of these questions that have popped up. David, please let me know if that answers your question. Okay, Lewis writes in, I'm not sure if it's Lewis or Luis, writes in, is there a password program that you recommend? Stay tuned. I've got a bunch of them that I'm going to recommend here as well. Okay, and Marcus writes in, recommends LastPass for use on desktop, laptop, iPhone, and iPad. Authentication on laptop and desktop integrate with Active Directory. So once I authenticate with my machine, I'm automatically logged into LastPass. It's also nice to use the Face ID on the phone. Absolutely. Totally agree with you there, Marcus. Using some of these newer technologies like synchronization with Active Directory, man, does it make it easier for it. Personally, though, I personally wouldn't do it that way. I think password management is more of a personal thing, and I personally would not, even though I own the business, would not want my password manager authenticated with Active Directory in the case that one of my staff decides to go rogue. Well, they could lock me out of Office 365, which then would lock me out of, in this case, LastPass, Dashlane, whatever tool you choose to use. I tend to think very small, and I tend to be a little bit more cautious with respect to integration, to the point that I don't like using what's called LDAP or single sign-on SAML-based authentication between services. I like to have a separate password for every website I go to make the risk with respect to a data breach as small as possible. Tom writes in, do all these services automatically sync between iPhone, desktop, PC, and MacBook? The answer is it depends there. Tom, it's going to depend on what service you choose to use. Some of these will offer these services and others won't. So if that's important to you, though, plenty of them will. And I can tell you my personal favorite, LastPass, absolutely. You can use it on an iPhone, iPad, Mac, PC, all concurrently if you'd like. There are a lot of great password management tools that are out there. You really can't make a bad decision, and they're really effective and useful for a lot of different reasons. However, do recommend, do your own due diligence. Go ahead and check out this website. We've got a nice comparison. And also on the CP Today podcast over the next year or so, we're going to be doing detailed walkthroughs on each of these. So stay tuned there if this is of particular interest for you. But I want to discuss the top five solutions of the probably the most five popular ones that are here today to kind of give you, some different things to consider. So there are some password questions you should ask yourself. And first thing is, are you doing this for your individual or corporate? If it's individual, go nuts. You can choose whatever solution you like the best that fits your specific needs and wants. Okay. If you're picking up something for corporate, though, definitely something in the context of sharing amongst the company, secure sharing amongst staff should be one of the considerations. Does the solution allow for synchronization across multiple devices? As Tom writes in, hey, I want to know, can I use this on my Mac, my PC, my phone, and more? Okay, if that's important to you, and I cannot imagine why it wouldn't be, synchronization is really important. And that allows so that if you create a password on your phone, it updates on your iPad, which then also pushes through to your computers and vice versa in any direction. Can you do other stuff? Password management tools have kind of evolved. It's more than just picking up passwords these days. It can do other stuff like filling in forms, which are kind of useful. You could put in your persona like Steve, Yas, here's your address, your city, state, zip, so on and so forth. Well, it can do all of that, okay, which is great, but then it can fill it in on those forms for you automatically. Additionally, a good password management tool, don't think of it solely for passwords. I can tell you the way I utilize these tools, they are available not only for passwords, but really kind of any confidential or secure information is how I would use them. So my password management solution, for example, I use not only for storing passwords, but really kind of everything else that goes into password management. I want to be able to get my data in and out. That's really important, be able to import and export our data. So if I don't like it, and I've had to change password tools 3 or 4 times now, I just find something I like better. I want to be able to exfiltrate my data, take it to where it needs to go to the next solution. Don't get something that's going to give you vendor lock-in. Okay, can it capture passwords automatically? Meaning as I'm working throughout the web, does it store those passwords for me as well? So that I don't have to manually put those in every single time. Does it have security protocols to analyze my passwords and let me know if there's potentially weak ones? Does it support multi-factor? This is absolutely a game stopper for me. I mean, if it doesn't support MFA, it's not on my list of consideration. Does it monitor for breaches? Okay, if a password becomes compromised, are they looking the dark web and scanning and letting you know if something like that occurs? So there are a lot of tools that are out there. Here is a list of a bunch of them. You know, we've got Keeper, we've got LastPass, Dashlane, Bitwarden. There's LogMeIn. Funny enough, LogMeIn also owns LastPass. 1Pass, Password Boss, RoboForm. We've also got Zoho Vault, McAfee, Sticky, Password, and others. There's a lot to choose from, okay? And you can check out the K2 site to talk about some of those specific ones. However, for the purposes of our discussion here today, there's a few that I think are stand above the rest. We got RoboForm. We've got Zoho Vault. We've got Dashlane. We've got LastPass. And we've got 1Password. Okay? So any of these solutions I think are comparable and good. Let's go ahead and take a look at a couple of these here right now. So RoboForm pretty much works across the board. In my opinion, it's probably one of the better of the tools that are out there. It's good for both individual use with their individual product as well as RoboForm for business. You can import, export, capture. It works with Edge. It works with Chrome. It works with Firefox. It supports that multi-factor authentication. And it was one of the really kind of first companies to get into this space. And they've been around for a long time. I could tell you with most of these tools, they started off free. However, most of them require payment. You know, any of the big ones do at the moment. And if you're going to use it, you know, I would recommend paying for it because usually with the paid version, there's a number of additional tools that that comes in there. You know, and on the individual side, you know, if you want to use this for your business to securely send and manage passwords with staff, you know, it's pretty reasonably priced, you know, and you can find it really kind of any price point based off of the size of the organization needed. Okay, they have the RoboForm Everywhere, okay, which has a free version of the account. It works fairly well. With RoboForm Everywhere, you can keep your passwords synchronized across all of your devices, desktop, laptop, smartphones, and more, even stuff that has yet to be invented. In addition, RoboForm Everywhere provides cloud-based backup and access to your password across all these different devices as well. Okay. Now, if you do need the paid account, you can buy it per year. You can also buy it for multiple years as well. Another tool that you might choose to look at would be Zoho Vault. Okay, Zoho, which is a whole platform of applications, besides just being a security tool, it's also useful for customer relationship management, enterprise resource planning, so on and so forth. They also have a password management tool coming in 4 different versions. They're personal, standard, professional, as well as enterprise. Their personal tool is exactly what you think it would be. It's intended for individual use. However, I would say the one thing about Zoho Vault is it tends to focus primarily just on passwords. It doesn't do a lot of the other whiz-bang features that you might get with RoboForm, LastPass, or some of the other ones. But if you're using the Zoho system, you know, which they bill themselves as the operating system for business, this is a really good tool because it's integrated in with the other 45 other cloud applications that they have. And it's a very good password management tool if you're using that ecosystem of products. Okay, it is built in 4 different varieties. They've got their personal product, which is free. They've got a Teams product, which is $1 per user per month. A professional product, which gives you a little bit more capabilities, and then an enterprise product as well. So overall, pretty cool solution. And I would say this is one of the better solutions for corporate use as well. So I think it's a pretty cool solution to consider. And if you're using it inside of a business, definitely worth a look. Now, I do want to draw your attention to my personal favorite, and that would be LastPass. And frankly, I mean, all these tools are roughly the same. Again, as I mentioned before, can't really make a bad decision. They all do the same. My opinion, though, the granddaddy of them all, the master, you know, in terms of most features, most functions, best price, is going to be LastPass. And LastPass has been around for a long time. It's very well respected. And it is, like the other tools, sold in a couple of different varieties. They do have a free one. It's just LastPass. And forever, it was just 100% free. And it still continues to be free with one big caveat. The free version, you can either choose to use it on your desktop or you can choose to use it on your mobile device. but only one or the other. So if you use it on your computer, great. You can continue to use it on your computer, but you won't be able to access it on your mobile phone, and vice versa if you choose to use it on your mobile phone. They now force you to buy the LastPass premium. It's $3 per user per month. Okay. And for that premium, you get the rights to use LastPass across all your devices. Okay. I've paid for LastPass for years. It's well worth it. I mean, it is, in my opinion, the best out of the bunch. As somebody who's tried a lot of these different solutions over the years, I personally think LastPass works the best, has the best features. And for me, it's as much of a digital vault as it is a password manager. It integrates with a bunch of different things, including 80 websites. It's got tools that will automatically log you into those websites, generate passwords for those websites, reset your passwords for those sites as well. It's got a ton of security tools around finding weak or duplicated passwords to make and promote security. Okay. And overall, it is just a really cool tool. Some of the other kind of unique things that it has is their emergency access feature. Okay. This is unique. I'm not aware of other companies supporting this tool. And what this does is that, think about it for a second. Let's say you, unfortunately, you pass away unexpectedly. At least in my life, I mean, everything that's important, all the important data is in, you know, my password management solution. Okay, that's pretty common. Well, with respect to the password management solution, I would want my wife to be able to log in and get access to this data. Well, what I can do is that I can set up a web of trust where that if I pass away unexpectedly, I can delegate access to a person. Okay. And I could say, hey, delegate access after a week or 10 days. And what they attempt to do is to reach out, find you, make sure you're not alive somewhere. And if they can't, after a period of waiting time, it will provide access to that account to that designated person. So it's a great way to provide continuity of access. Cause I mean, this is how you get to your mortgage. This is how you get to your bill pay. This is how you get to your bank and all that other stuff listed in there. So I personally find that that particular feature and function is of quite good use and peace of mind for a lot of people. But I've had great luck with LastPass. I think you will too. Whether you're looking at LastPass, KeePass, Dashlane, OnePass, Zoho Vault, RoboForm, any of those I think are quite good. And there are a lot of options that you can consider here for your organization or for your personal use as well. Okay, we've got about 5 minutes left. Let's go ahead and round out the end of our presentation and talk a little bit about passwordless systems. Okay, so passwordless systems, we already touched upon this a little bit. We've got, for example, Windows Hello for Business, makes sign in really easily. We've got our Microsoft Authenticators, you know, which is a pretty cool service for logging into your computer just with your mobile device. We've got FIDO2 security keys. This uses a variety of different security standards around your mobile device to get access. And we can even authenticate with our browser now using Microsoft, the new Edge anyways. Now, what does passwordless bring us? Well, overall, it brings us better security. It gives us better convenience. It's easier to manage at scale. And generally, it is a better way of managing things as much as possible. I love passwordless stuff, especially if it can be done effectively for a organization. Now, there are a variety of passwordless FIDO2, which stands for Fast Identity Online products that you can consider using. Okay, there's stuff from AuthTrend and Security, as well as these others as well. YubiKey has been around a long time. And what YubiKey does, I mean, it's essentially a little hardware device that will prove who you are and allow you to securely access other services, your computer, password managers, other things like that. But this FIDO, this Fast Identity Online Products, is a whole category of stuff in of its own. Okay, what does a FIDO key do? Okay, well, so imagine... Okay, imagine this is a FIDO key. This is just a USB stick, but a FIDO key, and I had one, and I don't know where I put it, unfortunately, looks very similar. They're USB-based, okay? The user plugs this into their computer, okay? Windows knows that this is a FIDO security key, okay? Windows will then authenticate to this key and will send a message back and forth ensuring that this key is the actual key for Steve Yass. The user then touches their fingers. It does a typically a fingerprint scan to ensure that the device is actually the correct person. It then provides authentication back to the computer, which then goes up to the cloud. The cloud then issues a token, and then the person's able to access what they're looking to access. But it's a physical hardware device that the user would have with them that they would then plug into the computer that they choose to use. And it's a really kind of cool way of providing increased access because it is something you have and something you are. It's something I have in the sense of the actual key itself, and something I am would be like my fingerprint. And so that's a really kind of useful tool to have. Okay, so let me go ahead and round out our presentation here with some common password management questions. And there's a couple of people that have walked in or that have asked some questions here. Like Zane has asked, what if the password management software is compromised? Carol's asking, do I recommend the premium or business plan? Let's go ahead and look through some of these FAQ. And if there's some additional questions here, I'm going to give you my contact info and we could certainly talk offline. So, common question, what happens if somebody gets into my password manager? Well, the answer is hopefully that never does happen. Hopefully you've secured it with multi-factor authentication. Hopefully you've locked it down to specific geography so that somebody in China or Russia, if you're not working in those areas, can't log into your service. But if they do, absolutely make sure you change your master password. Absolutely make sure you change your account password. And unfortunately, reset all your passwords for other sites. This is the worst case scenario, but standard protocols apply. Just go ahead and change everything. How is this better than the passwords I keep in my Excel file or in my book? Well, it's better because it's going to generate stronger passwords. The randomness of Excel isn't really truly random. Somebody could potentially figure that out for you. Any of these password manager tools are going to generate better and stronger passwords for you. And it's easy to lose if somebody steals your workbook and gets access to that Excel file. As I mentioned, there are tools that are out there that are specifically designed to break into Excel files. So generally not much more secure. What happens if the password manager company goes out of business? Well, you may have a warning. You might not. You know, that's a particular risk that you might have. I can tell you any of these major companies like Zoho ain't going out of business. If we think about LastPass, they're owned by LogMeIn. They're not going out of business. You know, if they did, I think there would be bigger issues in the economy. But, you know, typically, I think you would probably get some sort of migration tool if they were planning to deprecate that product and leave that marketplace. I would hope they would provide it. You could also, for example, occasionally take a password backup and put it into a safety deposit box if you lose it.
All right, folks, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Let's go ahead and have a couple of review questions and then wrap up for the day. Our first question, which of the following are alternatives to password controls? Is it Windows Hello? Absolutely. It's a wonderful tool if you happen to be a Windows user for managing all sorts of authentication for your computer. It can utilize your webcam and do facial recognition. It could do fingerprint recognition as well. You can use a PIN code and more. It's a great, convenient way to be able to log into your computer system and a great way as an alternative to a traditional password. Is it fingerprint authentication? Yeah, absolutely. That's also one of the methods supported by Windows Hello. It's also supported in a variety of other computer systems as well, and mobile phone systems as well, including Android and iOS. Is it two-factor or multi-factor authentication? Absolutely. In fact, some websites and services are not even setting passwords at all anymore, but rather texting you a code when you log in that you then provide as your password into the system, gaining access in. But you don't set a traditional password, but rather get a code every time you need to log in. So the correct answer here is all of the above. All right, our second question. Which of the following are password management tools? Is it Zoho Vault? Absolutely. Fabulous password management tool from our good friends at Zoho, and a great option if you happen to be using the Zoho ecosystem of products. Is it LastPass? Yes, my personal recommendation, the tool that I use, it is a wonderful tool for creating passwords, storing passwords, and recalling them. It also has a wealth of other options and functionality with it as well. You could use it to upload and store all sorts of confidential information from prior year tax returns to registration information and more. And it's got a bunch of really good advanced security options. Is it 1Password? Yes, also another great password management tool that you could use to create, store, and recall your passwords. In fact, there's so many great tools out there on the market today, you really can't make a bad choice. It's just about finding the right tool that fits for your organization or for your personal life with the right mix of features and functionalities for you. So, correct answer here is all of the above. All right, our third question. Which of the following are passwordless benefits? Is it improving security? You betcha. When we can provide additional methods for authentication that don't involve traditional passwords that may be used biometric, that is a great way of improving security because it's not easy to fake fingerprints or facial recognition. Is it enabling convenience? Absolutely. Our users love passwordless login because it's so much faster and easier compared to having to remember a long and strong password. I love the fact that I could use my face or my fingerprint to open my phone or tablet, which makes using those devices far simpler and easier. Is it easier to manage at scale? Absolutely. If we had a large quantity of users, this can help improve security, make it convenient, and it's easier for everybody to use. So the correct answer here again is all of the above. All right. So we had a great discussion today and explored a lot of major topics around security and passwords. We discussed some alternatives to passwords, as well as a deep dive discussing multi-factor authentication and the benefits and why you should use it. We talked about some of the high-level features and functions to consider when choosing a password management tool. And as I said before, there's so many great tools that are out there, you really can't make a bad decision these days. But there are some specific features and functions you might want, so at least knowing what is possible will hopefully allow you to pick the tool that's right for you. We also took a look at some of the leading tools that are out there, including LastPass and others, what their major features and functions are, and some of the compelling ways that you could use those applications. We finished with just a brief discussion of passwordless authentication and some of the future tools and services that might be out there that'll hopefully make it easier and more secure for all of us. In future episodes of this series, we're going to dive into specific tools and services that are out there for password management, including LastPass, Zoho Vault, KeePass, Dashlane, and more. I really want to take each of these products one by one and in a full episode dive into how it works, how it functions, the pricing, the major features, and hopefully give you the information necessary that you could make a good decision about what tool that you might want to use. So please stay tuned and check out future episodes in this series. Well, that does bring us to the end of our presentation. But before we go, I do want to remind you that if you are a financial professional, which I hope you are, you could earn credits for listening or watching today's podcast by just going to cpetoday.com and using course code PMT2. At cpetoday.com, we have a wide range of different financial professional topics from audit, tax, accounting, and more. And we also have our podcast series where we produce high quality content twice a week where you can listen or watch and then take a class, real quick class quiz and earn a credit. So head on over to cpetoday.com and use course code PMT2 for today's episode. Take a quick quiz and you'll be well on your way to earning a credit to maintain your license. If you like our content, please consider following us on social media. You can find us on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and more. We're always trying to post new and insightful information to help financial professionals be the best they possibly can be. And if you like our content, please consider subscribing to us and getting our content automatically sent to your phone or to your tablet. You can find our podcast presented live twice a week, Tuesdays and Fridays on Facebook and YouTube. And you can also subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, and more. Wherever you happen to get your content, you'll probably find us there. It's my pleasure being with you here today. Thank you so much for your time and attention. I wish you all the best, and I look forward to seeing you back in the office the next time around. Take care.